Ancestry, the global leader in family history and consumer genomics, released results of a survey commissioned to understand how consumers viewed their health risks during the COVID-19 pandemic. According to results, almost half of all Americans and nearly 50% of parents said the COVID-19 pandemic has increased their interest in understanding their possible genetic health risks. Dr. Ron Park, Executive Vice President of Health and DNA at Ancestry.
The COVID-19 pandemic has made clear to many people the importance of taking proactive actions to protect their health and their family's health. The survey shows that this applies to not only concerns specific to COVID-19, but also other health issues, such as genetic risks.
Ancestry Health, launched last year to increase access to personalized preventive health care, will soon be powered by next-generation sequencing, an advanced technology that provides a comprehensive analysis of inherited health risks. Visit ancestry.com/health.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. In this day and age, with all the worries, all the riots, all the violence, all the COVID, everything you're facing, it's never been more important to get a good night's rest. And you need every advantage in getting the deepest, most sound sleep you can possibly get. That's why I'm thrilled that my friend Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO of MyPillow, wants to make sure you can deeper, faster, and longer than ever before. That's why he's offering the buy one, get one free offer on the Giza sheets. That's why he continues to offer you the lowest price on the best selling pillow of all time. And all MyPillow products come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on Radio Listener Specials for the buy one, get one free offer. That's MyPillow.com and click on Radio Listener Specials for your buy one, get one free on the Giza sheets, the special price on the pillows, etc. You can also dial 800-506-2641 and use the promo code KMC.
Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
I was a fighter in the 70s, and when the 2000s hit, I had my shoulder operated on, and I'm thinking, okay, here it comes. And I heard the commercials, and I thought, well, I might as well try this. I had retired from teaching karate in the late 90s, and right now I'm teaching again every week since I've been taking Balance of Nature. I'm back at it, and I'm actually sparring with these kids. I'll be 65 in June. It's almost like your body's been starving for this. And you start feeding it, and then everything starts reversing itself. It's just a great thing. I'll keep being one of your preachers of this because it just works. And I can't thank Balance of Nature enough.
Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com today and use discount code KMC.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, breaking news as it happens, what it means, and why it matters.
Kevin McCullough, and here we go.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Obliterating confusion.
Amplifying truth.
And pursuing clarity.
Kevin McCullough, now.
Lots of analysis to give on different items that are in the top headlines today. And I don't understand why the Biden campaign has taken the tack that they are, but we will delve a little bit deeper into Debategate. But first, I want to speak with Andy McCarthy about two big stories. Stay with us. It's Kevin McCullough.
Binge thinking.
Kevin McCullough.
Something interesting is happening with this.
Kevin McCullough, let me start with you.
I found this thing at townhall.com by Kevin McCullough.
The big dog
has come out of nowhere.
Kevin McCullough.
I just want to help people think.
Nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
And he's playing the role
as well as anybody could.
Kevin McCullough is a nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
The odds are he's right.
It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
The election ticks closer, now just 93 days away, and the first debate is next month. Some Democrats have said Biden shouldn't participate in a debate with Trump because it would give the president a giant platform to lie.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that's the reason. is that CNN? That's CNN. Alex is telling me that's CNN. That's so. Well, you get what you pay for over there, I guess. Kevin McCullough, welcome to Tuesday. We've got a lot to get to. Yeah, that's why Joe Biden doesn't want to debate. It has nothing to do with a number of polls out this morning. I've got them all over Twitter. He's at 51% in the same poll that Barack Obama was on this day in 2012 at 44%. They have also announced that they have signed up more new voters in swing states than at any point in Republican history. That's the Trump campaign. And yesterday's big, much ado about nothing polls in those swing states that they were highlighting, friends, I pointed out to you, they're exactly where they were in 16. I'm trying to look at objective metrics, and I'm not seeing where Joe Biden saying I'm not going to debate is going to help him. I'm going to lay that out there for now. Hey, I hope you're dry. Big hurricane coming all up the East Coast, and we're thankful to be safe and sound in the studio today. Someone else who I'm thankful is safe and sound and here back with us again to talk about two huge stories is Andrew McCarthy. You follow him on Twitter at Andrew McCarthy. And he has been very, Andrew C. McCarthy, he's been very busy over the last weekend because some big milestones for his kids and such. But he's the former U.S. attorney for a chief, former chief assistant U.S. attorney here in the New York area, contributing editor at National Review, and of course, a fellow at the National Review Institute, Fox News contributor as well. One of my favorite legal minds on cable TV these days. And Andrew, I try not to miss the things that you write. Somehow, when I was on vacation last week, I didn't see your initial posting of your from your column from National Review. But this story about Donald Trump himself, not the campaign, not some nebulous campaign worker, being the target of the Obama administration is enormous. And I am not I'm saddened that it is not getting more coverage. But I do believe that it's understandable as to why it's not. But break it down for us. What did they do?
Well, Kev, thank you so much for the kind words. I think the reason this is such a story still is it was always something that was perfectly obvious. It's almost, as I have argued this over the years, including in the book I wrote about Russiagate, it always seemed it was weird that you'd need to explain that the only interest that they had in the Trump campaign was Trump. I mean, unless you really think that they moved heaven and earth, used all these very controversial counterintelligence tactics that they have for foreign enemies of the United States, using them against the political opposition, and brought other countries into it and used all the code words and got informants and spies. You think they did all that to get George Papadopoulos? I mean, what did people really think was going on? So I think what's happening now is the paper trail is finally catching up with what all of us who analyzed this and used a little bit of common sense understood a long time ago, but which the Democrats and a lot of Never Trump people and, you know, their major organs like the New York Times and some Republican establishment people who are reliable shills for the FBI, they all wanted us to believe this nonsense that this really wasn't about Trump. It was just about a couple of bad apples in Trump's orbit, when it's perfectly obvious when you look at this that he was always the central figure.
So let's put that in historical context. You have a sitting president and administration with the Obama team, and they are targeting not only the candidate, but eventually the president-elect. Right. What type of legal tripwires did they run across here? Should we be seeing prosecutions of a criminal nature occurring because of this?
It's a great question, but here's the thing with that. What it's most reminiscent of is the second article of impeachment against Richard Nixon, which included abusing the FBI and using the FBI for political purposes. And I think you and I have talked about this a number of times. The gray area here and the difficulty is in our system, the framers sensibly didn't leave it to prosecution to rein in a president because obviously prosecution is a presidential power. In our system, it's an executive authority. It's mainly a political check on the president, impeachment. And a lot of things that are in the nature of abuse of power are not violations of the criminal code. And we operate under the assumption that if somebody abuses his power, there are ways in the political checks that are written into the Constitution to check that. You wouldn't expect that the Justice Department is going to be the tool for dealing with that. In fact, the Justice Department's not in the Constitution. So I think what you have here is a situation where you're going to get some lower level people, particularly at the FBI, who tampered with evidence or made misrepresentations to court. Those are the kinds of things that you as a prosecutor can deal with. But as far as abuse of power is concerned, Nixon was never prosecuted. Ford, of course, pardoned him
right
when Ford came in. And I think that's obscured the fact that when you look at the Nixon articles of impeachment, it would have been very hard to prosecute him. I actually don't think he could have been prosecuted. And that's really not the way the system deals with this kind of political abuse.
Your explanation makes sense, but I will say on an emotional level, everyday citizen, taxpaying, proud patriot, it feels criminally, insanely evil for the sitting president to use the power the way that they did. And now the importance of your current piece is that the documents are demonstrating the theory that you had put out there a long time ago, including in your best-selling book. We're speaking with Andy McCarthy about the new documents that have basically connected the Obama administration to targeting of Trump himself, not the lower level people, not the campaign workers, not Brad Parscale, not other people. Trump himself, he was being spied upon. He was being treated un-Americanly by not just another citizen, but by Citizen One and his team around him. Andy, let me move to another story that when I was on vacation, it just kind of like blew my mind that this was happening. But the courts have rejected the death sentence for the Boston bomber. And I know I'm a couple of days late on this, but I again feel like something's really wrong here. What's your assessment of what the court did there?
Well, I don't agree with it. I think, you know, I guess it's important to stress that they haven't said that the death penalty is off the table, but the Justice Department would have to go back and do another death penalty phase against him. The decision really doesn't make a lot of sense to me for a personal reason and a legal reason. I guess the personal reason is, and I should explain first, that this all goes to whether the jury selection was thorough enough, whether the court did a thorough enough job vetting the jury for the effects of prejudicial pretrial publicity. And what they basically said, what one judge on the panel, there's a three-judge panel, said is that, you know, if this case is not the case where you change venue, in other words, move it out of Boston to try it someplace where you could get a fairer trial, then there's no case that doesn't warrant a change of venue. I tried, Kevin, the World Trade Center bombers in
right
the mid-90s. We had that trial 8 blocks from the courthouse that had been bombed. We were in walking distance of the FBI headquarters in New York and the Holland Tunnel, which were on the bombing target list. And I just think that these terrorism cases are national stories. And there's no reason to think a person is going to get an unfair trial in the place where it happened, or that you would get a fairer trial if you moved it. If you moved the Boston Marathon bombing to Philadelphia or Houston, do you think they like terrorists any better there than they do in Boston? You know, so you do the best you can to vet the jury, and most juries decide cases along the lines of what the facts and the evidence say. So I just don't agree with it. And the other thing I think that's important is the courts, which are, you know, products of the American legal system and left of center as far as the culture is concerned, they are very hostile to the death penalty. And my experience studying the criminal law over many, many years now is that the courts are so hostile to the death penalty that sometimes in a case the death penalty phase is fine and they end up looking for other reasons to undo the death penalty. And here they did it with the jury selection.
Wow. And I think the average American, again, sits there and goes, what the what? Because if anybody deserved the death penalty, it's people that kill Americans in cold blood and on massive scale. Anyway, Andy McCarthy, always appreciate your diligent effort to help us think clearly. And thanks for being with us today.
Thanks so much, Kevin. Have a good one.
Follow him on Twitter. Andrew C. McCarthy is the handle. And again, you don't want to miss anything that he writes because it's all just super brilliant. Kevin McCullough coming right back. Hi, Kevin McCullough. As you are continuing to hear about the COVID crisis around the world, you need to understand that it is more important now than ever before that you are active in promoting your own immune system. Your strong immune system is the best defense against a virus doing something bad to your body. And that's why no other product that I've ever used myself, nor heard or seen the research of, has ever done as good of a job for me personally as Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables. By consuming more fruits and vegetables, you are getting everything you need in your immune system to be stronger. And right now, you can do it for 35% off the new preferred order and get free shipping. 800-246-8751. 800-246-8751. 800-246-8751. Or by going to balanceofnature.com and making sure you get the best price by using the discount code KMC. That's 800-246-8751. Hi, Kevin McCullough. I've been telling you about what would happen in the event of a national financial downturn. And guess what? It's here. The markets have erased all of its profits since the last election. And in just a few weeks, you saw a bull market get wiped out completely. Are you prepared? Are you prepared to take even deeper losses on your paper investments? This is one of the reasons why I've been telling you, you need to get the information about the coming bail-in from David Fisher and Landmark Capital. You also need to be hedging some of the protection of your portfolio with things that won't go down every time the market gets a flutter. Paper always does, but gold won't. And that's why I'm buying my gold these days with Landmark Capital. Call them today and have them assess your portfolio. Figure out if you're protected. And if you're not, ask them how to get you on a plan to do just that. 844-604-2575. That's 844-604-2575. 844-604-2575. That's 844-604-2575.
Breaking news as it happens. You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio.
The default position should be to try as best as you possibly can to open up the schools for in-person learning for the following reason. It's important for the children.
Oh, okay. Well, besides that, Mr. Fauci, I don't know, friends. I'm having a hard time. I'm really struggling. I was on the Facebook community page that the moms and dads from my said village have and operate. And the Karens were out in full force yesterday. And it's they're like, you know, oh, well, the governor of New Jersey's taking it down to 25 people per party or meeting. How are we going to have hundreds and hundreds of kids walking the school halls? And I said, I don't know, maybe apply a little science that kids aren't getting COVID. Let's turn to someone who has multiple irons in this fire, because she's not only a mom who's concerned about her kids, she's a patriot who's concerned about her country. Mary Catherine Hamm, longtime media pundit, expert, been on all the cable news channels, was a former editor of mine at townhall.com at one point. Now she's a best-selling author and wife and mother, and she's doing a great job on all fronts. Mary Catherine, good to have you back. Thanks for being here.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Oh, so dear. What's your take on the school mess?
Well, I think one of the things about this whole situation, particularly in schools, is like, wither rational news and risk analysis. Where did it go? Because I don't want to make light of people's concerns about sending their kids back to school. I understand everybody wants to work through this and be comfortable, right? But there is scientific evidence that they are the least affected population. Children are the least affected population by this disease, by this virus, that with some adjustments, they can be in places together. I think the taking care of kids by the YMCAs all over the country for thousands of kids of essential workers during this, they put in some pretty simple practices. There were no outbreaks. There's some evidence that we can do this in smart ways. What concerns me is that everyone is so risk averse and waiting for a bureaucrat above them to tell them what to do, that there was no creative thinking about how to do this. They're like, the school board here, I'm like, what were you guys doing all summer? Because there were no ideas. There was no attempt to say like, well, we do have all these empty public buildings open. Maybe we could expand classroom space so there are fewer children per area. Maybe we could do this. I mean, there just was not a lot of creative thinking here. I understand everyone's under a lot of stress, but this is a pretty big deal. And I would argue that teachers and principals in the school system is about as essential as other essential workers that we declared essential. And yet this is the one sticking point where nobody's sort of making the effort to make it work. That's
Mary
how
Catherine
it feels
Hamm,
so many
the-
parents.
The cashiers at the local supermarket are interacting with hundreds of people a day coming through their,
yes.
They're considered essential. You're talking about
right.
20 kids in a classroom with the same teacher every day. You're not talking about hundreds of exposures to different people. You're talking
right.
about, you're talking about one person and one group of kids on a daily basis. And it sounds like you had a worse school district scenario than we did. We had a little more creative thought given to ours. They're going to phase things in 6 weeks, implementations. But to hear Fauci today, it was annoying as much as it was anything else. And you're very kind. You don't want to hurt people's feelings. You don't want to be nasty to the Karens. You got a mom with them, so I kind of understand what you're doing there. But, man, I was just, come on, we've got to take this next step. And you know, there's a lot of conspiracy out there. Is it being done because it has some sort of impact on the election and so forth? I don't know how much of that is real and how much isn't. I just know that I cannot go through another 20 weeks what we've done for the last 20 weeks. And we've got to start getting back to normal, because the nation's not going to survive if we don't.
What's happening is that people are taking this into their own hands. And even when the school system offers something that's basically inadequate, like 2 days a week in the school, which is what we were offered at one point, and then it went to zero, or just virtual learning, that a lot of parents are taking this into their own hands. Now, there are plenty of families that unfortunately do not have the resources to do that, but
right.
there are going to be new and different and creative solutions that are not it's not the school systems coming up with them. It's not teachers unions coming up with them. It's parents coming up with them, who know what they need to do for their kids, even when it's really, really hard. And it is going to be really tough. But I think the teachers unions are misplaying this hand, because risks aside, there was a chance to be the heroes that we were always told that they are.
And they didn't show it.
And I feel like they've passed on it real hard.
They punted
and the other thing,
time.
It seemed like, why did nobody ever say, hey, why don't high-risk students and high-risk teachers, we put them together virtually, and then low-risk teachers and low-risk kids can work in a school environment together? Why not?
Mary Catherine, they didn't do that because there's no unionized incentive to come up with that solution. Yeah. So, you know, this is about collecting a paycheck, kind of regardless of the amount of work that you do.
Big thank you to private schools and to others who are working really hard to.
Yeah.
And there are some school systems who are trying hard. Thank you to all of them who are really taking on some of the risk and really
thinking
through this.
No, there's some private education.
Summer camps, too.
Yeah, there's some private education options here that are opening full time, and they're going for it. And you got to give the tip of the hat to them. Hey, real quickly, Mary Catherine Hamm, you're a purveyor of elections, and you watch and observe. Joe Lockhart floats the idea that Joe Biden shouldn't debate, and they said it out loud, and then they floated the story. And other than getting a 24-hour kind of halfway interesting news cycle for Joe Lockhart, this is being met with ridicule and scorn. Is there any possibility that Joe Biden doesn't stand on a debate stage?
I don't think there is, because I think this was a pretty classic trial balloon, and it got shot out of the sky with good reason, because there's not a lot of the normal mechanisms for exhibiting candidates this year. So you don't get to go to rallies. You don't get to see the convention where they're sort of center stage. And so the debates are kind of it.
Yeah.
And I think as much as I don't love debates, it's going to be a huge part of the decision making process this year, and we should have them. And I think most people understand that pretty commonsensically.
I was amazed at the pushback I was even seeing from fellow Democrats on social media over the last 24 hours, because they really do think, I mean, the Democrats already are dealing with, at least as best as I can understand, they're dealing with an enthusiasm problem to begin with. And if you're dealing with an enthusiasm problem and it looks like you're avoiding having the conversation, be it tough or not,
it just looks so weak.
I think the middle goes, well, what's with that? So,
yeah.
All right. Mary Catherine, great to catch up with you. Thanks for your thoughts.
Yeah, good luck with all your Zoom schooling.
You do the same. We'll check in about 6 weeks and see what happens. Thank you, Mary Catherine Hamm. See her on CNN. Follow her on Twitter. Read all the stuff she writes and get her book. It's good stuff. Kevin McCullough, much more straight ahead, taking the mayor to task. Joe Borelli, just around the corner. Don't go away. Hi, it's Kevin McCullough, and we are reaching a very important point in the COVID-19 crisis that most people in America don't know anything about. See, the COVID crisis in America has played out along one set of talking points. We must find a cure. We've got to have a vaccine. We need new therapies. We've got to make sure that reopenings begin, which is good. That's what America needs. That's how we will get our life back on track. And it's important for that to happen because of how the COVID crisis has actually interrupted the life of the third world. Well, wait a second, Kevin, what do you mean by that? Well, it's this simple. When the first world, Europe and America and the developed countries on planet Earth, began to experience the COVID crisis, the poverty that was already engulfing third world countries took a deeper and darker hold on all of them. That is nowhere more pronounced than in the Sudan region of Africa. In the northern Sudanese country, those who have been enslaved by northern Sudanese had their conditions become worse. Slave owners couldn't get as much food, so the little bit that they were already feeding to their slaves got taken away. They also got a harsher crackdown on not getting work done and more brutal circumstances like genital mutilation and starvation, sometimes poking out slaves' eyes who choose to disobey sometimes basic and abusive orders. Friends, these things have been occurring and they continue to occur. But Christian Solidarity International, somebody that we have advocated for the last dozen years or so at Kevin McCullough, all things related to this broadcast, Radio Night Live, the Kevin McCullough Show, and all of our podcasts, one of the things we have been advocating for is the liberation of those slaves so that they're not even in the ownership of those slave masters any longer. See, they came to be slaves while the Sudanese civil war was underway. And when government powers brokered the peace and South Sudan was created as the world's youngest nation, it didn't address, none of the global powers addressed the continuing slave scenario there. Friends, we can make a difference as we have in years past by choosing to liberate slave by slave on an individual underground railroad negotiated basis, not trading dollars for lives, but trading something that is of value to the slave master, a vaccine for his cattle called Novidium. It will help his cattle survive through the harsh summer and weather extremes. And in exchange, they'll release a slave. CSI has been involved in this negotiation for dozens of years and have helped free tens of thousands. Over 100,000 slaves have now been freed. The vaccine costs about $50. And then in addition to that, CSI would like to offer every slave that is liberated what's called a bag of hope. It includes a tarp that can be turned into a tent. It includes a year's worth of sorghum seed to grow a coming crop. It includes a year's worth of sorghum grain to be able to feed themselves for the first year when they win their liberty. Friends, you can make a life for a slave know that freedom by just giving that gift of $250. They also get a she-goat to help produce some income for the family and gardening tools to help them on their way. It is a wonderful, wonderful way to help someone who has been ravaged by the COVID-19 crisis. Would you help free a slave right now? 888-342-1010 is the number. 888-342-1010. 888-342-1010. We need your help right now. 888-342-1010. That's 888-342-1010. You can also go to csi-usa.org.
Confusion, amplifying truth, and pursuing clarity. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
I'm thinking about the parents. I'm thinking about the kids. I'm thinking about the educators. How do we keep them safe? I know we're doing that work every day. We're putting really stringent approaches in place.
I think he's mayor of the moon or something. What voters is he talking about that he's looking out for in that soundbite? Honestly, I try not to... This guy is such an easy punching bag. It's like an easy task every day to just tear him down for everything that he's done. But honestly, he's got to be the least popular mayor in the history of all mayors. And to have this constant attitude of I know so much more than you and we're doing the best we can. It's driving me nuts. I wonder if it drives the city council nuts. I wonder if it drives the minority whip on the city council nuts. Joe Borelli joins us from his lockdown status, getting ready for Zoom school, I'm assuming, in a couple of weeks. Joe, good to talk to you.
Yes, sir. Look, as you pointed out, if I was getting lessons in physics from Einstein, maybe there could be some condescension, you know, in the way he delivers his remarks. But when you're someone who is running the city worse than any other mayor in anyone alive's memory, then you could probably save the condescending attitude for someone else. And that's unfortunately impossible for Mr. de Blasio.
Said with great deference and respect, as Mr. Borelli always does a good job of. And by the way, Councilman, thank you for manning the microphone for me last week.
My pleasure. We had a great fun. We had a great lineup. It was a great week.
Yeah, it was well appreciated. Let's talk about the leadership. Mayor loses his city's top health expert. And to be candid, I wasn't all that impressed with her. But compared to him, she kind of looked like genius level material. The governor is still punting on everything, including the fact that he was contributing to the 12,000 or so deaths of seniors in nursing homes. Joe, how is the Democratic Party still in charge of every major office in New York State?
It's amazing that voters will still return them to their offices this November and next November when it comes to city elections. It's astounding in the wake of COVID. You know, in the past, look, there might have been disagreements. You might be a progressive and maybe you're helping someone, and I might not agree with you, but at the end of the day, maybe you're doing some good. This just shows that the Democratic Party in New York State is incapable and incompetent of delivering critical services and making critical decisions at critical moments. And look, what we know from Commissioner Osiris Barbo's resignation today is that there probably was some back and forth between the mayor's staff at City Hall, the mayor himself, and the direction the actual health commissioner went in. Look, no one's saying that this commissioner is unqualified. She's certainly a public health expert. And there must have been some differences between her and City Hall. The one we know about is that her agency, which always does contact tracing, right, whatever infectious disease we've had in the past, the city's Department of Health has led the efforts on contact tracing.
Right.
And we know the mayor decided to just end that about a month ago and put it in the hands of the Health and Hospital Corporation, which has never done contact tracing in the past. In fact, if someone came to a Health and Hospital Corporation hospital with some type of communicable disease that required the Department of Health's response, it would have been the Department of Health who they themselves called. And I think it just is a cluster, you know what? And finally, the commissioner has decided to bail out rather than be standing around holding the bag when the lights and sirens come.
But Joe, this mayor spent most of the last year campaigning in other states for an office that he would never had a chance of holding. He is spending the majority of his time now painting murals on our city streets. Meanwhile, 200% increase in violent crime. A pandemic that, according to some people's estimation, is still very serious. I mean, we're dealing with a world of hurt, and he is nowhere to be found.
And it's deeper than that, because you even see when important decisions are made. Right? Like, the pandemic is a real thing, right? It was a real thing. It still is. Shootings are a real thing. They're real concerns, very tangible concerns for New Yorkers. Yet when we have the city budget going on just a few weeks ago, the topic of conversation was how much are we going to cut from first responders, specifically the police.
Right.
It's almost as though the real concerns of New Yorkers aren't even existing, and we're only focusing on this very far fringe left that's the loudest voice in the room all the time, every day, 24/7 in New York. And they are the only ones that politicians care to pander to. I wish politicians would care to pander to the majority. That's really the point of a democracy. Pander to the majority of us, at least, who are concerned about the rising crime, who are concerned about competence during the pandemic. And, you know, make your bones that way instead of just doing these crazy far-left policy ideas.
Well, and it's destroying a world-class city. It may destroy what was once a proud political party. But it's destroying life for everyday New Yorkers and Americans, and that is the real shame of it all. But City Councilman Joe Borelli, we appreciate your insights. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Kevin McCullough Radio, when we come back, checking technology. Ari Zoldan just around the corner. It's Kevin McCullough.
Ancestry, the global leader in family history and consumer genomics, released results of a survey commissioned to understand how consumers viewed their health risks during the COVID-19 pandemic. According to results, almost half of all Americans and nearly 50% of parents said the COVID-19 pandemic has increased their interest in understanding their possible genetic health risks. Dr. Ron Park, Executive Vice President of Health and DNA at Ancestry.
The COVID-19 pandemic has made clear to many people the importance of taking proactive actions to protect their health and their family's health. The survey shows that this applies to not only concerns specific to COVID-19, but also other health issues such as genetic risks.
Ancestry Health, launched last year to increase access to personalized preventive health care, will soon be powered by next-generation sequencing, an advanced technology that provides a comprehensive analysis of inherited health risks. Visit ancestry.com/health.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. In this day and age, with all the worries, all the riots, all the violence, all the COVID, everything you're facing, it's never been more important to get a good night's rest. And you need every advantage in getting the deepest, most sound sleep you can possibly get. That's why I'm thrilled that my friend Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO of MyPillow, wants to make sure you can deeper, faster, and longer than ever before. That's why he's offering the buy one, get one free offer on the Giza sheets. That's why he continues to offer you the lowest price on the best selling pillow of all time. And all MyPillow products come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on Radio Listener Specials for the buy one, get one free offer. That's MyPillow.com and click on Radio Listener Specials for your buy one, get one free on the Giza sheets, the special price on the pillows, etc. You can also dial 800-506-2641 and use the promo code KMC.
Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
I was a fighter in the 70s. And when the 2000s hit, I had my shoulder operated on, and I'm thinking, okay, here it comes. And I heard the commercials. I thought, well, I might as well try this. I had retired from teaching karate in the late 90s. And right now I'm teaching again every week since I've been taking Balance of Nature. I'm back at it. And I'm actually sparring with these kids. I'll be 65 in June. It's almost like your body's been starving for this. And you start feeding it, and then everything starts reversing itself. It's just a great thing. I'll keep being one of your preachers of this because it just works. And I can't thank Balance of Nature enough.
Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com today and use discount code KMC. Everywhere I go, oh, oh, I change it all.
Breaking news on the trending technology you need and can't live without. Ari Zoldan of Quantum Media Group, exclusively on Kevin McCullough Radio.
Yes, indeed. It is back to the Technology Tuesday. I was away last week, and my guest hosts got to meet all the regular guests that we have. And I know that one of Joe Borelli's favorite people to talk to when he fills in for me is Ari Zoldan of Quantum Media Group, who rejoins us. Ari, good to have you. Thanks for being here.
You bet. Great to be back. And it was great talking to Joe last week.
He does such a good job for us on the city council. I hope that he's mayor or governor at some point in time. Hey, let me ask you about the big tech story that I was hearing about late into last week and, of course, all weekend. And it even impacted some of the business discussions yesterday. But TikTok and Microsoft, is the sale going to go through? And if so, are we going to be able to trust that the American data is going to stay in American hands?
So I think so. I mean, this story's been all over the news the past week or two, because I think it really hits upon politics, business, national security. You know, Microsoft came to the table and they said that they're interested in purchasing TikTok. So I think they haven't 100% committed, but I know that conversations are progressing, which I think is going to be good across the board for everyone. The data is going to be held and stored in the United States, so I think everyone's going to feel very, very comfortable about that.
Now, I know that you deal with a lot of different countries on the planet, but I know that there have been lots of concerns about the data mining that the Chinese have been able to do, not just through apps like TikTok, but through, you know, basically technology policy that they have in there, encoded into their legal framework, where if you're Walmart, you can't go sell tennis shoes over there unless you give them the blueprints to how you make the shoes so inexpensive. Is there going to be repercussion on the business or technology side from China if Trump continues to play hardball with saying, no, we're not going to give you stuff for free anymore?
Excellent question, Kevin. It's something that I've been thinking about, and I think the tech community as well has been debating whether or not the Chinese now is going to retaliate back from a business, technology, and a data standpoint. And I think that my guess is that we're going to see some cat and mouse play over the next probably couple of years until maybe there's some sort of standards that are actually rolled out between countries. And we're going to see how that plays out, I think, in the next couple of years.
That's going to be difficult because China has gotten a lot of technological info for free for a long time. And I'm doubtful that they're going to be super willing or cooperative to do anything that's reciprocal. I mean, I could be naive about it. Maybe they're more cooperative than I am suspecting. But I thought this was a pretty bold move by the president, and one, especially in light of the larger trade issue and other things, that could have some ramifications to it.
Yeah, no, I was shocked by this too. I don't think we've ever seen anything like this in the past, where the government is kind of intersecting with a foreign government as it relates to our data, and then forcing the sale to a third party like a Microsoft. So yeah. I think the dynamic is very, very interesting, and I'm very curious how it's going to play out.
Which we won't know for a little while. Be interesting. Hey, speaking of governments doing stuff, what's this story with electronic tags in Singapore and quarantine?
So this is interesting, Kevin. People landing, certain countries, individuals from certain countries landing in Singapore now, they're tagging them with GPS bracelets to be able to track them and make sure they're actually being quarantined. And again, this is completely open for debate, and I hear both sides. I think, quite frankly, it's a bit of a reach. But Singapore's taking this very, very seriously. Everyone that comes off the plane from specific countries, they're really making sure and they're watching that they're actually quarantined.
Oh, okay. And there's one other development, Ari, and we've been following this in my money segment on Mondays in the business section, but NASDAQ is the only index that's doing well, and it's all because of tech.
Yeah, tech's been carrying the market for some time, you know, and there's a question amongst, you know, the financial community whether or not the tech sector itself is overinflated. Quite frankly, I'm a big techie, but I still think that the tech sector is slightly overvalued, and I'm curious to see what's going to happen over the next week, and that's going to be very, very telling to have one index carrying the rest of the market. I think is a bit dangerous, and I don't think we're headed in a positive territory as relates to the market.
Well, you're not actually saying that tech is propping up an otherwise unhealthy market, are you?
I do think, and I do think that we're in dangerous territory right now. I think there's some fundamentals under the technology, obviously, right now, and the numbers are looking good. But for that to carry,
but isn't that only for like,
market,
but isn't that only for like four or five companies? That, I mean, because I was told that if you take the top five tech companies off NASDAQ, that there is that index is as underwater as the Dow and the S&P.
That's 100%, Kevin, and that's more to my point. You only have four or five or six big tech companies carrying the entire market, and I don't think that's sustainable.
Good time to buy gold, my friend.
That's right.
Don't let the robots take over. Keep that AI at bay and buy your gold. Ari, it's always interesting to catch up with you on technology, and one of these times when I'm gone, it just strikes me for vacation what I should do is have you come in and do an entire show one day on technology, and you could bring in some of your some of your real tech experts and break some stuff down for us. I'd listen to that show. I'd get the podcast. I'd replay that.
That would be great. And it would be a lot of fun, Kevin.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, thanks. Thanks again. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Amazing. Thanks, Kevin.
All right. Follow him on Twitter at Ari Zoldan, A-R-I-Z-O-L-D-A-N. And thanks for joining us. We've got a podcast of this segment under Tuesday Tech at the Kevin McCullough podcast domain on iTunes and at SoundCloud.com. And, of course, we never put that behind a paywall. We always want you to have access to the great stuff. Coming right back with my final thought for the day. It's Kevin McCullough on a stormy Tuesday. Hi, it's Kevin McCullough, and we are reaching a very important point in the COVID-19 crisis that most people in America don't know anything about. See, the COVID crisis in America has played out along one set of talking points. We must find a cure. We've got to have a vaccine. We need new therapies. We've got to make sure that reopenings begin, which is good. That's what America needs. That's how we will get our life back on track. And it's important for that to happen because of how the COVID crisis has actually interrupted the life of the third world. Well, wait a second, Kevin. What do you mean by that? Well, it's this simple. When the first world, Europe and America and the developed countries on planet Earth, began to experience the COVID crisis, the poverty that was already engulfing third world countries took a deeper and darker hold on all of them. That is nowhere more pronounced than in the Sudan region of Africa. In the northern Sudanese country, those who have been enslaved by northern Sudanese had their conditions become worse. Slave owners couldn't get as much food, so the little bit that they were already feeding to their slaves got taken away. They also got a harsher crackdown on not getting work done and more brutal circumstances like genital mutilation and starvation, sometimes poking out slaves' eyes who choose to disobey sometimes basic and abusive orders. Friends, these things have been occurring and they continue to occur. But Christian Solidarity International, somebody that we have advocated for the last dozen years or so at Kevin McCullough, all things related to this broadcast, Radio Night Live, the Kevin McCullough Show, and all of our podcasts, one of the things we have been advocating for is the liberation of those slaves so that they're not even in the ownership of those slave masters any longer. See, they came to be slaves while the Sudanese civil war was underway. And when government powers brokered the peace and South Sudan was created as the world's youngest nation, it didn't address, none of the global powers addressed the continuing slave scenario there. Friends, we can make a difference as we have in years past by choosing to liberate slave by slave on an individual underground railroad negotiated basis, not trading dollars for lives, but trading something that is of value to the slave master, a vaccine for his cattle called Novidium. It will help his cattle survive through the harsh summer and weather extremes. And in exchange, they'll release a slave. CSI has been involved in this negotiation for dozens of years and have helped free tens of thousands. Over 100,000 slaves have now been freed. The vaccine costs about $50. And then in addition to that, CSI would like to offer every slave that is liberated what's called a bag of hope. It includes a tarp that can be turned into a tent. It includes a year's worth of sorghum seed to grow a coming crop. It includes a year's worth of sorghum grain to be able to feed themselves for the first year when they win their liberty. Friends, you can make a life for a slave know that freedom by just giving that gift of $250. They also get a she-goat to help produce some income for the family and gardening tools to help them on their way. It is a wonderful, wonderful way to help someone who has been ravaged by the COVID-19 crisis. Would you help free a slave right now? 888-342-1010 is the number. 888-342-1010. 888-342-1010. We need your help right now. 888-342-1010. That's 888-342-1010. You can also go to csi-usa.org and click on Kevin McCullough's picture.
You need to know when you need it. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, Kevin McCullough, glad to have you with us. One of the trending stories that I didn't spend a lot of time talking about in this past hour is the explosion that took place in Beirut, Lebanon. If you see some of the video on Twitter and such, it is a remarkable explosion. There was one person that was shooting video that looked like they were at least a mile or two away and got blown off their boat with the force of what came back at them. But whatever is happening there is certainly something to be watching. And if we find out more about what caused it, et cetera, we will no doubt be talking about it in the days to come. But my thoughts and prayers are with the Lebanese people. By the way, I know some folks that are doing some great work there. And if you want to help some people that are in need after that, 888-211-5944 is a number where you could call. Heart for Lebanon is the name of the group, and they're feeding refugees that are there that have been displaced from the Syrian war, and they'll be helping people on the ground there as well. 888-211-5944. Now, I didn't get a chance to really sound off on a lot of the poll stories that I saw today. I do have them all posted on Twitter, by the way. But I was just starkly reminded of something when I saw Abigail Maroney's Twitter post, and I retweeted it. It's been 41 days as of yesterday. So 42 days today. It's been 42 days since the primary vote was taken in New York City, New York State. And the primary votes still have not been officially released. Now, there's a lot of discussion about what to do for the national election. Are you willing to wait 42 days after election night to find out the winner? This is what Joe Biden and the Democrats want to do. They want to turn this, what you're going through right here in New Jersey and New York, because primaries have been held in both states, and it's weeks later, we still don't know. Can you imagine doing that on the national level? Better not. You want to sow discord and mistrust in this election like you've never seen before? Try to pull that. It could be the start of a civil war. And there's reasons why we may not even need to. Trump has registered more new voters than Democrats in nearly every swing state in terms of just new voters to the polls. That is a story out of Axios today, not one of the conservative sites. Mainstream news aggregator Axios reporting that the Trump campaign registering more new voters than Democrats in the swing states. So interesting. Good day for the president. 51% approval. He's kept 85 promises. Middle of a pandemic and violence in Democratic cities. And on this day in 2012, Obama was at 44 and got overwhelmingly reelected. I'm Kevin McCullough. See you next time.